Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. I didn't hear what you said, Anderson.
In more, closer to mic.
Closer in.
Yeah. We adjusted that all tonight.
Trying to hang back a little.
Yeah.
One more night here in a beautiful New York City, and then it's back to Los Angeles. Drew?
Yeah, except it seems like, Adam, the sort of story of our life is rain.
Yeah.
It follows us wherever we go.
It's raining here tonight.
But biblical rain.
Yeah, it's coming down.
Yeah, it's weird. I've never seen the streets flood in New York. It flooded in like 2 hours.
Drew was out at Times Square doing a little bit for his TV show tonight. I was in Soho eating dinner at a very trendy bistro.
No, you were at the meatpacking district.
It was a meatpacking district. Last time I came out here, I got confused and went to the fudge packing district. I don't want to talk about it, but a totally different place. It was out on Bleecker Street. But I was eating dinner with Eminem's manager tonight.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, the thing I like about managers in the rap business is they're part manager, part bouncer, part pimp, part enforcer. You know, it's not just management.
Right.
But nice to hear. We're doing a Eminem's doing a crank. He's using all the Cranky Anchor puppets on his latest video. So he's a Eminem is like a retarded Cranky Anchors fan.
Yeah,
and so it's like $1.5 million video with a bunch of puppets.
Oh,
yeah, fantastic. But anyway, had a good time with that tonight. 1 o'clock. Met Drew over here. It's raining. Drew is in. In Times Square, doing a little man on the street bit. How'd you stay dry?
You know, they have lots of those big overhangs the theaters have and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Little shop alcoves you can walk into.
No problem.
No problem.
And what are we doing? We taking a cab back tonight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got the, I was just, Drew and I had to do the upfronts. It's like an advertising thing for
Discovery.
Drew's doing something on Discovery. I'm doing a home improvement show on TLC. So they flew us out here to do our thing. You talk to the ad sales guys, advertising guys, guys who buy a commercial time. I was thinking as I was sitting backstage and I was hearing the guy, you know, they always have the president of the company comes up there and he says, we here at Discovery Channel feel privileged and feel like this year is going to be a banner year for the Discovery Channel and the umbrella of Discovery Channels and companies and subsidiaries. And I said to someone, how long have these upfronts been going on? I mean, where a network...
I heard this conversation.
Network would come out and do their thing. And I said, yeah, since the 50s. And I thought, oh, I would give $1 million to see stuff from the 70s.
Oh.
And like, it's like the guy from ABC. First off, he's got a collar that's like 9 feet wide.
Looks like Sister Bertrill's headset.
Sister Bertrill's headset. He's got a huge hair.
Yeah.
You know, big Brillo head. It's like 1977. And he's saying, with groundbreaking programming such as the Dukes of Hazzard and Hello Larry, we feel like ABC is ready to reclaim its rightful spot.
I wonder if they even presented that way back then.
They had to.
But they'd be more, a little hipper, a little like,
with
this country the way it is, we figure we're going to give Americans a little homespun fun. So here's our version.
All I'm saying is to have a film of them rolling out Love Boat, Fantasy Island.
Bring it back Dukes about 6 years. Gilligan's Island. Genie, F Troop. How would that go down?
Well, the thing about the upfronts is, of course, you have to speak very positively. What it is, you're a car company and you're unveiling your new car.
Yeah.
So you can't say, sure, it's got some styling that everyone agrees on, but we think it's a decent ride. No, it's all praise, no matter what the car is.
Right.
So the idea that they would be rolling out these clunkers and these TV shows that were just novelty bad and speaking in glowing praise of these things must have just been... I would just love to sit back and watch a video. You know what I would love? I would love to see a compilation of all the major networks up fronts from like 1966
to 75.
Let's make it 85. I mean, you could get Full House and that kind of stuff in there too.
It would be so entertaining.
Oh, they'd be doing Mork and Mindy. Oh, they'd be doing everything. And they'd be talking about the people like you'd never heard of Robin Williams before. Because they'd be going, a hot, fresh, upcoming comic named Robin Williams. You know what I'm saying?
A little bit tough. You know, you may not like him at first.
It would just be awesome to watch that. They'd be showing little clips, and you'd see what everyone was wearing in the audience. Someone's got to film these things. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, so we're here in Manhattan. We got one more night here, and then it's back to Mother Los Angeles.
Now, I'm down in that meatpacking district where I was last night. It's like Celebrity Central. It's crazy.
Oh, Drew almost ran over Lindsay Lohan.
That's true.
Who else did you see?
Liam Neeson, Robin Williams, strangely enough.
Oh, yeah.
You saw...
I saw Keith Richards tonight, and... let's see, Peter Boyle, who I know engineer Chris would go out of his mind if he saw Peter Boyle because he doesn't know who he is.
Chris? Oh, Chris,
no,
yeah.
Engineer Chris, yeah. Right. And then and another guy no one's ever heard of, Salman Rushdie. But Salman Rushdie was the guy who wrote this, I don't know, Satanic Verses or something. He was the guy who was the author, who basically just wrote a book in like 1994 and got on the Shaw's hit list. And Ayatollah or
the
whoever.
The Shiites.
Well, whoever was in charge of that part of the region put a $5 million
bounty
on the guy's head, which got to be rough, by the way, when you got the suicide bombers. And not only going to get, not only going to do, they would blow themselves up for free, but in this case, their family's going to get $5 million.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but he managed to survive. All right, Drew, what's going on?
Let's take some calls, shall we? All right, here's Sarah, who's 21. Sarah?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hi. First of all, I'd just like to say I love your show. You guys are hilarious.
Thanks.
And I have a question about a problem, and also I have a comment on blowjobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, my problem is for about around 2 months, like sort of mid-February to end of March, I wasn't able to get an orgasm at all, not even using my vibrators, which is very irregular for me, because usually with my vibrators, I can get off every time. And
Hold on. You say vibrators.
Yes.
Just a little spectrum, little menu.
You have more than one.
Yes.
You don't use them in tandem.
No.
That's not like knitting needles. We're using them at once.
Well, I have the pulsating heart and a regular vibrator.
The pulsating heart?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sometimes I use them together.
All right.
Pulsating heart?
So you would actually use two vibrators at once?
Sometimes. Not always.
Hold on. Okay. Pulsating heart?
I don't know what that is.
It's,
This sounds like an episode for a Michael Narron cartoon
It's a little, gel thing that you put over your clitoris, and it vibrates. It has different speeds.
Mm-hmm.
And different vibrating pulse rates, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's the number one seller at Fascination Superstore.
So it's like
that is
Superstore. Right. So it's like a jogging rate and sleep rate, coma.
Yeah, it's
rate.
A pedometer. All right, yeah. So use two things at once.
Supraventricular tachycardia, ventricular tachycardia.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't have an orgasm.
No, and I couldn't. And I started again at sort of the beginning of April, end of March, but still I can't all the time. Like, it's only been a few times that I've been able to get an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very irregular, because usually
I
can get off every single time.
Have you started any medication?
Yes, I'm on medication for depression and anxiety.
Well, that's why you're having a problem.
It. You got to get a third vibrator.
No,
but
the serotonin.
I've been on the medications for a year now, though.
Did they change the dose?
They added Seroquel.
Okay, well, that's why you're not having orgasms now.
Seroquel is?
Uh-huh. Mm. And it's maybe the interaction with the Seroquel and the other medicines, but that's definitely the problem. Psychiatric medications very commonly interfere with orgasmic function and or libido.
How does that work? Why does that work?
No one knows.
All right.
No one really knows. Right. Although they are coming out with some very ultra short acting serotonin reuptake inhibitors, like short acting Prozacs that are out of your system about 4 hours.
Boring.
Wait a minute. Listen to this. To take for premature ejaculation.
Ooh.
So you're not taking it for, you don't want it all the time in your system. You want it for a couple hours. You take it.
Not so boring after
and
all.
And even with that, it doubles down. It doubles your time to orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a 1 minute, it's 2 minutes.
So is there anything I can do to get that back? Because I can't.
Yes.
Like most women, I can't orgasm during sex. And
Are you bipolar?
No. I just depression and anxiety disorder and stages of narcolepsy.
Wow.
The narcolepsy may be from all the meds, too. But the fact is, though, yeah. Listen, the Seroquel is highly sedating. That's going to make your narcolepsy worse or whatever. It's going to make you sleep more. And it's making you not orgasm. Go back and talk to your doctor. It's not a side effect you have to tolerate. And there's nothing can be done to correct it other than changing your medication.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Wait a minute. She had a BJ question.
Yes, I have not a BJ question, a comment. You were talking about blowjobs on the show last night, and in Colorado, we got that two nights, so I was just listening to it. And the woman who was pregnant, she was talking about how she was like, ew, I don't want to give a blowjob, and it's just going to...
It went kind of like this.
Hey, how about giving him a BJ?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Anderson.
Yeah, that boy raised. My roommate and I were just going, oh, what is this girl's problem? Because we love giving blowjobs. It's so satisfying.
Yeah.
And it's
satisfying. Why?
That's right.
What makes it satisfying?
Nougaty goodness.
You're awesome, that you're so good at it. And just guys love it.
Yeah.
Good times.
And we don't like really receiving because most guys suck.
Ooh. Where's this apartment complex?
Well, no, wait a minute. She said they don't like receiving because most guys can't do it.
Huh? Yeah, most guys can't do it. And so it can't, you know, it doesn't get us off. So it just kind of gets, like, boring and pointless because they're just looking and it's doing nothing.
She almost goaded me into that, I'll show you. And then I thought, all right, just start blowing.
Right.
You're right. Maybe you got a point.
How, what if you found a guy that was good at it?
If I found a guy that was good at it, that'd be awesome, because then I could receive and give, but we still prefer giving. We just love it.
All right.
Also, if
Adam, you could divert your plane tomorrow. You don't have to go straight to Los Angeles.
Where are you guys out of?
Huh? Colorado.
Colorado? I get out there.
It's right on the way home.
Tell my wife to wait in the airport.
Sure.
I got some business to take care of. Don't worry about it. That'd be the next thing out of my mouth.
Here's the
conversation. I got some business to take care of in Colorado. Huh? None of your beeswax.
Just wait here.
Yeah, just wait here.
All right, Sarah.
All right.
What are you doing in Colorado?
Blowing guys.
Right now?
Yesterday.
Why am I in Colorado?
What are you doing there? You going to school?
I go to school. I'm a film student. I go to Colorado Film School for directing and script writing. But then I'm going to grad school at the CU Health Sciences Center for human genetic medical research.
She has a her major is in oral with an emphasis on BJs.
Going into genetic research. What's your undergraduate degree in? Film. Your undergraduate degree?
It's a film production with an emphasis in directing.
Oh, like you said, Adam.
Yeah.
Going into genetic
industry. All right, baby. Keep blowing. God bless you and your roommate. You know what I like? I like when girls get competitive about giving oral sex.
What?
Like, I'll show you who's better.
What?
I'll show you who gives her a better
You've never
BJ.
Had that.
No, I've never had it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
No,
I've
you whatever. Oh, jeez.
What do you mean?
Porno.
No, those are documentaries. Those aren't porno.
I beg your pardon. Well, of course.
Those are real nurses.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry.
Let me say this about the porno industry.
Say it.
In the porno industry, you know, oftentimes they'll have, like, secretaries, and they'll come on to their bosses. And
Librarians.
Nurses. Yeah. No greater chasm between reality and porno than nurses. Nurses are usually like American Indians, about 500 pounds. Heads the size of 55-gallon drums. Could store 7 or 8 penises in the right cheek. In the movies, smoking hot. Why aren't nurses hotter? Nurses should be hotter. I would, you know, if I was in charge, I would try to get hot chicks into nursing.
Do you know what happens?
What happens?
Just think about it. Use your imagination. What happens to the hot ones?
Or they get snatched up by the doctors.
And then?
They're gone.
They're gone.
They're pulled out of circulation.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Or not even the nurse, the doctor necessarily. Just they're just pulled out.
Yeah, they get pulled out.
Whatever, yeah.
And some celebrity comes in there with a broken leg, and next thing you know, she's going home with the guy.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't work, right. And it just leaves. You know what it is? It's like the heavier ones can stay behind. The ones that can't physically be moved out of the hospital, they actually stay behind. It's interesting.
Yeah. Survival of the fittest.
I would like hotter nurses, and you know, my only other feeling about our models being shipped out to Europe, I don't go for that either.
That doesn't seem to be happening so much anymore, does it?
People don't talk about it, but you always hear about these models. Whenever you talk to a model, it's always, what happened? I grew up in Michigan, and then when I turned 14, I went to France and modeled. And I was all through Europe, and then I came back when I was 21. You guys don't have your own hotties?
I think we've responded to that with reality television.
Hmm?
America's new top model, whatever, like crap.
I'm just saying, we have our hot. Like, imagine,
I think they're staying back.
Imagine if you're in the junior high, and the hottest, smokingest chick, you're in Kentucky, the hottest chick just ships out.
Oh.
You're bummed out, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's
because,
just brutal.
Because the thing about it is, all these smoking hot model actress chicks always will tell you a story about some guy. Oh, he was the Drew, do you have to whack the
twice,
mic with the...
Twice,
with
both the, ways. Going
Pepsi
and coming.
Bottle coming in and going. No, see, these chicks, even though they're smoking hot, they're 15, they're civilians. You know, so they'll tell you the story about, oh, I had a crush on Carl Bringas.
Yeah.
He was a junior.
Oh.
He played for
Carl
the tennis
now.
Team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's and then there's the guy, like, when you, and these poor saps, by the way. It's got to be a weird thing where it's like, oh, yeah, I was married to Anna Nicole Smith when she was 16.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah,
she worked at the fried chicken place. I worked at a batting cage. What? Like, no matter how big and how hot these celebrity chicks are, they always come from some small town.
The Dorothy Stratton story. That's that.
There's some goofball that's married to them or dating them in high school.
Yeah.
But when they ship them off, to Europe, it's all over.
Yeah.
Jigs up. They know they're hot.
They enter
the
world
market. Now it's the world market.
Yeah.
It's all over. All over.
All right, stop obsessing about this. It's
too late.
Hey, I've got to bring up some stuff tonight. Apparently, I've been giving these plugs for my Discovery Health Channel show, and people have been calling and thinking I'm looking for calls for the radio program, for this program.
No ass.
I'm looking for calls for people that would willing to go on television and talk about a couple things. Tonight, I'm looking again for diabetic males who are having side effects from not taking their insulin, like erectile dysfunction, and or men suffering from premature E, willing to talk about it on TV.
Okay. Let me take care of some business.
Please.
Here. I'm at the hotel. We've talked about this before, but I'm at the hotel tonight. It's about 7:30 at night. Wife's taking a nap. I'm watching a little TV. I'm in my underpants. There's a ring on the doorbell.
Ooh.
And a frantic ring, because you get the first ring, and then,
ring,
and the next ring comes in, and then the key starts turning.
Oh.
And, turn down service. What? Turn down.
I hate that.
And here's the whole thing is, let me explain what the turn down service is. They take the corner of your bedspread, and they pull it out.
A quarter inch?
7/8 of an inch. Yeah. And they dog ear it.
Yeah. And then they leave two chocolates by the bed.
And they leave a chocolate and they leave. Yeah. And it's like, first off, they always show up. They'd be better off showing up at 9 when you're out to dinner than at 7:30.
Or 4:30.
Or 4:30.
Yeah, yeah.
But they show up at like 7:45 when you're in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
The next move is, and it's one of those moves like when people not, when dirty old men want to see their daughter's friends naked changing in the bathroom, they do the one knock and burst in move.
Yeah, they slip in.
Anyone in there?
Sorry.
Stacy, sweetie, I am. And they're not even looking. They're sort of turn their head, but their eyes are still looking at her snatch. You know, like, I am sorry, sweetie. I am sorry. That's what it is. Like, one ring on the doorbell, two ring, and then pow, I'm piling in.
Yes.
And my pants aren't even up yet.
Yes.
They're coming in. And it's like, turn down. Turn down. No, we don't need any. Now, here's the thing about the turn down service. Here's the deal. There should be no turndown service.
Unless you request.
And there should be a box you fill out.
Yeah, or a little light you turn on or something.
You know when you check into
the
a hotel?
For the newspaper.
No.
I want the newspaper.
No. When you check in, they do that thing. Smoking non-smoking. Yeah. You want the queen, the double, you want two beds, you want the twin, you want the California
But let's face it, it's going to be the nice hotels. So do you want the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal? Do you want breakfast in the morning?
When you're
do you
checking
want
in,
turndown service?
Turndown. No.
Or what time do you want?
Now, forget about what time. I'll give an extra $50 if you don't give the goddamn turndown service.
All right, there you go.
All right?
There you go.
All right.
Trump into that. We're in Trump's hotel.
All right. It's by the way, I'm still going by the Vicar of Christ, if anyone wants to know.
Oh, we don't have a new pope yet, huh?
Mm-mm.
So you retain that moniker.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Vicar?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Shall we...
What do you want to do?
Take
you
some
got
calls?
Somebody on there?
Well, we're right on the cusp here. We could actually go to break on time.
Mm, yeah, why break our streak?
All right.
Let me say this, though. Drew was on the internet tonight looking at our new Loveline cartoon.
Yes.
We've had it. This will be the third, I believe.
Third installment.
First two, very entertaining. Drew was on the internet tonight, couldn't get sound on it.
So we're just watching it.
Yeah.
Laughing our ass off.
It looked good.
Yeah.
It always looks good, but we weren't able to hear it. Maybe we could hear it. Maybe Anderson can find it and play it.
Can
somehow.
You do that, Anderson?
I bet he could.
Yeah, you could just hear the audio, but you wouldn't be able to see it that way.
Yeah, just hear the audio.
We'd like to hear it because we've seen it now. We can't get the audio.
I know. And then the other people that are listening to the show, well, it's a radio show. What do you want?
Can you play it?
Yeah. You could play it.
Right now? Right now?
No, not right now. It's 10:20.
No, not right now. Come on, buddy. We got to take a break.
All right, let's take a break.
Come on, buddy.
It's 2 minutes long.
Listen to Adam. He says we should break.
All right, we're breaking.
Voice of Reason. So here's what we'll do. And you could give the website out so people could go see the new cartoon.
There you go. The Vicar Voice of Reason.
Thank you. All right, we'll take a quick break. Drew, who are we going to talk to when we come back?
I'm kind of decided about that. I'm thinking Jim, who was a premature e-guy. No?
It's not float my boat.
5 years of boyfriend, never had sex, and freaked out about doing it.
Mm.
Yeah. 24-year-old, been 5 years with the guy, now it's getting weird.
Wow. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
All right, that and the latest installment of the Loveline cartoon after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm the Vicar of Christ. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Vicar?
Wait a minute. What night is this? Is it Thursday?
Yeah. What's up, Vicar?
No. Oh, we're not in town tomorrow. Well, we are in town tomorrow, but no radio show tomorrow.
No.
I got a little screwed up on my calendar.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Drew and I were speaking during the break about the male G-spot.
Yeah, I was doing some man-on-the-street work for Discovery Health Channel. I interviewed a gay guy, and every gay male I talk to, I'm sort of curious about this male G-spot thing, because I have rarely interacted with a straight male that is interested in having his prostate massaged during sex, having a finger up the rectum and the prostate massage.
Mm-hmm.
And the women's magazines have made such a deal about that. Yeah, they did. Women were, like, trying, and so the guy's like, hey, stop.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Yeah.
Not do it. And this guy said, is, well, they just don't know how to do it. They just don't understand the man. Only a man can please a man. There's this kind of stuff. And they just don't understand that. And I'm thinking, no. Mm-mm.
Well,
I don't care what you're doing with that. It ain't going to be good for me.
I got to tell you, I would rather have a gay guy's finger up my ass than, let's say, a black woman.
You don't like the fingernails.
They got huge,
yeah.
You know, with unicorns airbrushed on them.
Yeah, yeah. And they
like
curve a little bit, too, and they might
and
scrape
glitter.
As they come back.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she would go in to massage my prostate and come out with my prostate. Be like a kebab.
Yeah.
Prostab.
Yeah. Prost-kebab.
Prost-kebab.
Yeah.
World's greatest magician of the 19th century. The amazing Prost-kebab. Yeah, it's going to make his semen disappear.
No, prostate kebab would not be a good thing. Prostate scrapings.
I'm just saying...
But you're giving me some ideas for how to do prostate biopsies, though. It's an interesting idea.
Here's the... Here's the whole thing about the whole prostate thing. And here's the thing. Here's what guys want. Guys want a hot chick they're turned on
period.
By.
End of story.
And then the second thing they want...
Whatever that means to him.
Whatever it means to him.
But
it's usually hot blonde. But point is guys want what they want. And then the next thing they want is what they want sort of from a stimulation standpoint. BJ guy,
right.
you a doggy style guy.
What's your sweet spot is the thing.
That's right. What do you do? What do you like?
Right.
And the finger in the ass is...
Less than 1%.
For straight guys, finger in the ass is... I'm high out of my mind, and I'm looking to push the envelope.
Yeah, or I don't like who I'm with, or whatever. But even then, it's like, why?
Right.
Just move along.
Right.
And so, but my question is, why are all the gay guys so into it? Is it something about that wiring? You know what I'm saying?
Gay guys.
This guy, by the way, confirmed the business about mutual masturbation, oral sex, as the predominant means of sexual interaction with gay men.
Yeah, okay, one of the greatest disappointments of my comedic career is that the whole cornholing thing with the gay guys is probably 20% of them, maybe less.
Yeah, and this guy was saying it's unsafe, and guys don't do that.
It's really about BJs and mutual masturbation.
Yeah.
And then general debauchery, don't get me wrong, but the anal sex.
Like glory holes and
etc. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. But the anal sex, not.
General debauchery.
Not at the. I majored in that in college. Yeah. Yeah. GD. Huh? The thing about it is the anal sex not at the top of even the gay man's
list. That's right.
But
they like the stimulation of the G-spot.
Well, if you can get yourself a BJ and have your prostate stimulated, I don't know.
No.
I don't know. Now, when
cartoon. Yeah.
When we left off, we were talking to Anderson about our latest installment for our Loveline cartoon. Who does these things, Drew?
Michael Narron.
Michael Narron, very talented illustrator.
Anderson, can you give the website out maybe so people can find it?
Yeah, that's tough.
It's tough.
Can you give the website out?
It's got to be too tough.
What does that mean?
It's one of those ones where it just goes on and on and on.
All right, that's too much.
Well, why don't somebody put it up on Loveline Companion?
It's already there.
All right, on Loveline Companion.
Go to the Loveline Companion. You can see it. There's been two before this. This is the third. Drew pulled it up tonight, but there was no audio attached to it.
Because we didn't have a computer with audio.
Oh, we don't have a computer with audio?
I couldn't find a computer with audio. That was the problem.
Ah.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. All right. Well,
seeing Drew's smug face on it is, I think, my favorite part.
Was it as an infant? It's very funny.
If you have it, even in the audio form, let's just hear it. What the hell?
All right, you have to give me a second because I have to push refresh and the computer's behind me, so bear with me.
All right. Yeah. It's got to spin the chair around and refresh things.
It's tough.
Speaking of refresh,
here it is. Nice music.
It's a long intro. It's a rough intro.
Well, speaking of refresh, what?
I like those hot towels they give you in first class.
Oh, sure.
But they go from molten hot to freezing cold
in 4 seconds.
That's six.
We open it. Gone.
People are going to think this is a cartoon, guys. You're confusing
them. Okay. Here we go. Right. Here we go.
Casey?
Hi.
You're 17?
Yep.
What's up, baby doll?
Well, I've been listening to the show for about a year. Mm-hmm. And in that time, I've kind of developed an interest in what Dr. Drew does. So I kind of wanted to do a...
Stepping on my jokes? Is that what you want to make your living doing?
Addiction medicine.
Oh, the other thing he does, yeah. All right.
That thing.
If you really want to practice addiction medicine, the two routes to that is first you do either an internal medicine or a psychiatric residency, and then you do a fellowship in addiction medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Just get the best possible grades you can, and
let me try to figure this out. Well, what did you do in high school? What was your SAT? Drew took his first PSAT before he left his mom's womb.
Yeah.
His dad actually balled it up and sent it up. They used to do it at the bank. That's what Drew's dad did with Drew's mom.
Pneumatic tubes.
Just fired that pneumatic tube right up. They got the PSAT. Drew got a 1265, 1270, I believe. Your dad told me.
He thought it was
decent for a zygote, but would have liked to see it up around 1300. Drew's sister got a 1300. He couldn't figure out why Drew couldn't get that. He sent another one up there on the third trimester, and Drew scored a little better, although the math was off. He claims it was dark. Then when he came out, he, before they cut the umbilical cord and wiped the smegma from his eye, they actually had him take his third...
smegma, it's meconium.
Meconium from his eye. That was on the test. He took his third PSAT. And so by the time he'd actually got to his senior year over at the Little Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophiliacs, he'd taken the PSATs 66 times.
Huh. 3 times a year.
That's right. And that's why I got the big 1470 on the finished one. Oh, is that it?
That's it.
Oh, wait a minute. It keeps, maybe it keeps going.
No, I think so, because that was me shifting, looking through the 65 tests in the briefcase, and the other guy's holding up their higher scores.
Yes. Well, yeah. I was enjoying that.
It was well done.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, my God. Do we really go on like that about things?
I think maybe we do.
That was a very cut version.
Oh, yeah,
actually,
we actually
about 8 minutes long, I think.
Yeah, maybe more like 10 minutes. Yeah. There you go. But it worked out
the
well.
The pneumatic tubes, here's the thing. When you're just going on, Adam, unfortunately, I don't actually create visual images of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
When the visual images are actually created, it's pretty gruesome.
It's funny, though.
It's funny, though.
Yeah, all right. So everyone should go to the Loveline Companion.
Pneumatic tubes.
And they could see that. Yeah, those were those. It's the best part about going to the service bay of the car dealership where they put, they go
ahead. We used to have them at the hospitals, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They put your... they put your paperwork in one of those suction vacuum tubes and right up the tube, and it shoots around. It goes to the front and goes right to the clerk at the front desk.
Yep.
What'd you use them for in the hospital? Abortions?
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. But no, for sending around requisitions for labs and x-rays and go to the different departments.
Well, what do they do now? It's all
computers?
Computer.
Yeah, it's computer now.
Yeah, it's bizarre that there was an actual suction tube that carried that stuff.
Yeah, you needed a tube to send it around.
All right. Where are we, Drew? Who are we talking to?
Here we go. Let's go to John, who's 27.
John?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
I've been listening to you guys for a while, Adam. I think you're hysterical. And I'm glad you're not doing the man show as much anymore.
Yeah, well, it's not at all. So
not at all. Perfect. Well, there you go. So you see my question.
What's your question? I don't see it.
What's your question?
Well, I want to know if it's possible to create hepatitis or any other disease by any oral sex within the anal area between two people who are both clean and free of STDs.
Well, let me make sure I get this right. You mean by someone's putting their mouth on somebody's ani?
Correct.
And it's something spontaneously occurring?
Oral fecal route,
yes,
Drew.
I understand, but he's saying people that don't have anything.
It would kind of make sense that, you know, putting your mouth or your tongue on an area that's not clean could create some sort of infection or disease.
Yeah, if you have a disease to transmit.
Well, I think a lot of people think that fecal matter is
diseased.
Sort of polluted.
Well, it's got gram-negative bacteria and anaerobic bacteria, and if you had an open wound, that certainly could infect the wound.
Right.
But a normal mouth should be able to fend against that kind of thing.
Yeah,
open stomach has nothing to... Nothing.
If you're actually if you're eating feces, is what you're saying?
Well, more or less.
Yeah, no, an open stomach has nothing to do with it. The problem with the oral fecal contamination is that there's lots of bacteria that can cause pathology passed around that way. Salmonella, Shigella, Campylobacter, enterotoxigenic E. coli.
Shigella is my Jewish name, by the way. It's my Hebrew name.
It's your middle name.
Adam.
Moisha Shigella.
Well, my mom would yell for me. I'd say, Shigella! It mean, it was time to eat.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so this, you know, and then of course there are viral illnesses like hepatitis B. You could get that way. Hepatitis
C. But the question is, and the point is if nothing exists in the stool, then you can't get anything
except let's put it this way, no more than you could say from rubbing dirt into a wound. There's bacteria in the dirt and ground too.
Right.
And it's a similar kind of a phenomenon.
Right, put him on hold, but let's explore this a little bit more for a second.
Oh, please. This is fascinating.
You have an open wound in your mouth.
Okay, let's say.
You decide to give somebody an anal tongue lashing. Mm. They have nothing. They have no hep C. They have no Shigella. Mm-hmm. But yet, what's coming out of them is sort of contaminated.
It's got bacteria in it.
But with nothing specific? Is that how it works?
They're specific, but they're not... They're not automatically going to cause disease. For instance, your mouth has tons of bacteria in it, too.
How dare you?
My mouth has tons of bacteria in it. Mm-hmm. And yet, if I could get bleeding gum or a cold sore or something, it's not going to automatically become infectious.
Right.
I'm not going to get a wound infection there.
Right.
So it's an environment that's not easy to get infection.
See, you're not going to create hepatitis C out of thin air, just like you're not going to create HIV out of thin air.
Just like you're not going to create malaria out of thin air.
Right.
You know, these things aren't spontaneously the result of
But
two
you can
people
still
come.
Get an infection through the oil because unlike urine, it is not sterile.
Right,
what's
and
coming that, out
and
of
in
there.
Fact, the bacteria that are in the bowel are the most common cause of urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they're close by. Mm. They find their way into that sterile area and grow and cause infection.
This is why whenever someone performs the oral on my ani, I give them a good hosing down with urine. Because I swab it out. Yeah,
mouth,
when it disinfect it. Sure.
Sure, sure, with some sterile fluid. Yeah, of course.
I'm like Sir Walter Raleigh.
Fauntleroy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Moving right along. Jim, 33.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
My question basically is to Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
And I'm 33 years old, and basically I've never been able to obtain any type of penis control. And I'm just wondering if there's something that can be done to correct that. And basically what I mean is I tend to not be able to hold back an orgasm. Literally, within a couple of minutes, I have an orgasm. Unless I'm inebriated, and if I'm inebriated, then I'm like Superman.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
Have you ever had a girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been married, and, I have a couple kids. And
all right, well, when you were married, didn't you kind of work this out a little bit?
No.
You didn't work it out?
No.
Hmm.
Not at all.
Well, look,
not
he's,
at all.
He's 33. It's not going to change.
Well,
and he's been married.
He can start masturbating more or something.
Nah, I don't know. Maybe he should get on those drugs we're
talking
about.
There will be some medicines coming out in the next couple of years that are specifically designed for this. And they are basically the same class as the antidepressant medicines, but they're very short acting. So they just stay in your system a few hours and maybe double your time.
Boring.
Well, here's the thing. Put him on hold. Let's talk about this for a second. Once a month we discuss this. Maybe once every 15 minutes, but everybody wants to correct their problems in life.
Yes.
And it is genetic.
Yes.
And we want to, now, there's one guy who has an orgasm in 1 minute.
Yeah.
And there's another guy who has an orgasm in 1 hour. And we live in a society where the guy who has an orgasm in 1 minute is seeking advice from the guy who has an orgasm in 1 hour.
Think about that orientation, that primitive man. Give me the wisdom.
Give me the wisdom.
That lets
I think
me
they
become
call it jism in this
the
point.
The jism. Give me the jism to be the 1 hour man.
It would be just like me talking to Michael Jordan. Help me dunk the basketball.
Right. Tell me what I need to do.
Tell
to
me
dunk
what it. I need to do. Well, you need a 33-inch vertical leap. I got a 12-inch vertical leap.
Yeah.
Well, then you can't dunk.
Right.
Yeah, but I see you do it. Just explain to me how to do it.
Explain
well,
it.
Palm the ball with one hand, like, and then just reach it out over your head, take off from the free throw line, and jam it home. Okay, write a better
write a
yet,
about
write
it.
A book. Write a book.
A video,
I'm
going to
read
video.
The book, and then come out the video. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It really is. There's a certain percentage of guys that bust a nut in 1 minute. There's a certain percentage of guys who do it in an hour.
But guess
and
what?
And then there's everyone who's in between.
There's all kinds of ways to work around that and to modify and to, you know, this is not a...
Oral sex oral is a good
sex,
good way to
good.
Do that.
Masturbating beforehand's okay.
It could help. That'd and then after that, it just starts getting into pharmacology.
And in the pharmacology.
But there's really not advice you can give on that.
No advice.
Now, if you're 15 and you're super anxious, maybe we can talk to you. But if you're 33 and you're divorced...
Where are we going with that?
That's about it.
Yeah.
So...
So he's just packing in, is what you're saying?
No, this guy needs to get with a partner and work it out. Yeah. And I would say
there are a lot of women that would just prefer the oral sex and like the guy to sort of finish.
A lot, all.
Well, you better hope.
All.
Oh, dude.
Oh yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, everyone, except my mom. I haven't tested this theory on her yet, but she's still on my list.
I'm sure.
I haven't gotten around to it.
Okay.
But yeah. You got to work with it.
Yeah.
There's really nothing we can tell you.
Right.
But maybe when these serotonin reuptake inhibitor drugs, the short-acting ones come out, you can try that.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's take a break.
All right.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, buddy. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Tell the folks your VIP room story again. It's pretty revealing.
I will. Phone number 1-800-LOVE 191. I was. You want me up on it? I'm. All right.
He's swallowing the damn thing.
Yeah. Good thing.
Oh yeah.
Used to it. Who's him, by the way? Ken hit the skids a long time ago. He's long gone. All right, am I close enough?
Yeah.
You're still lower than Drew, but yeah, I guess I have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's your dream come true. What are you talking about?
Test,
I don't
want one, two,
disappoint
test.
The listeners, though.
Yeah. He knows where his bread is butter.
He knows where the cash register is.
Right here, buddy. What I was saying to Drew during the breaks, I went to this.
Adam, look, he's here.
Oh, Ken. Yeah, pop me up a little there, brother. Test, one, two. Thank you. I went to Soho House tonight. Very exclusive. It's a club. It's where you have memberships.
You talk about looking for Fauntleroy, please.
Yeah, this is...
I don't go to clubs.
Well, I got invited, and I don't make the scene very often, but I was sitting at a table, you know, next to Keith Richards and that kind of stuff, and it's just cool happening. I got to believe whatever the scene is in Los Angeles in terms of being seen, go ahead and put 3 zeros behind that for Manhattan
in terms of what?
Just being seen.
Well, it's more concentrated.
It's more concentrated, and there's more people focused on making the scene and being seen.
Way more so, yeah.
Because otherwise, why would you want to have a drink in an area that you couldn't hear? You can't have a conversation. It's too loud.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. People are bumping into you, and, you know, they're taking their jacket, and it's draping it over your chair, and so it's too tight. So anyway, I was saying to Drew during the commercial break that New York is sort of about exclusivity. It's not really about how great some of these little clubs are, these little hole-in-the-wall places are. It's that you can't get in, and that makes you want to go in.
Right.
But then once you get in, it's just a room with a sofa in it.
Because it's just all about finite space.
Right. There's millions of people. There's a very limited amount of space. And therefore, only the cool people get this limited amount of space. And once you get into the space, your attitude is like, oh, what's so great about this?
What am I doing here?
And the answer is I'll tell you what's so great about it. See all the people out there? They want to be here. And my question is yeah, but what is good? What's that great about? Why does that make this good? Don't worry about what's going on in here. Worry about all them wanting to get in here and take your place.
That's right.
And that's what New York is about. And it's really, New York in that way captures a sort of human essence sort of thing, which is I want what's over there, and I want whatever all those other people want. And there's a line. I want to be at the front of it.
Yes.
Here's the line. This line is you're raped with a bowling pin. I don't care. I want to get to the front. Or better yet, I want to know somebody. Like,
I want to do it with somebody.
I'm hanging with Derek Jeter. Uh-huh. We can go right to the front of the line and get raped by the bowling pin. It's going to be awesome.
It's funny.
Because really, when you just sort of break the club down or the thing down, look, I could understand if you were getting rub downs or BJs or there was free booze or something. It's not. You just go up to some small little cramped area. Hang out with a bunch of other people that feel lucky to be there and more yet feel disdain for those who want to be there. And then you just pay $11 for a drink.
Perfect.
All right. Where are we going?
I feel there's a similar kind of thing with automobiles here. There's some crazy exotic cars, like crazy Ferraris and Rolls Royces. And how come? But we're driving.
Oh, and
where are you going?
Yeah, I don't know. I drove. I was hanging out with Eminem's manager tonight.
And keep mentioning that. You were hanging out with the cool people. We got that.
The cool people, yeah.
Yes, we understand it.
No, I mentioned it once. How dare you?
I'm going to need Drew's levels up a little. Sorry.
Yeah.
Now you got to pot Drew.
Forget that.
He had this Ford Excursion that had this, the whole thing was gutted out and turned into this sort of limo. It had seats facing each other.
Wow.
In the back.
Interesting.
Yeah. With all, like, you know, the divider that goes up in between, like, what, limo divider? It was a flat screen.
Oh.
It's like a 42-inch flat screen that went up.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, here's Jason, 28. I've had enough of that crap.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Good.
Jason?
Good. I just had a quick question for Dr. Drew. Growing up in teenage years, I actually developed a lump that was not right on the testicle, but just a little bit above the testicle. And out of embarrassment and not really having any effect of it, I didn't get it checked until a couple years ago, which my PCP said automatically shined a light through it, said it's a hydrocele. But right. then he sent me over to a urologist who kind of did just a little quick filling around, and the urologist said it was a spermatocele without an X-ray, without an MRI.
Well, hydrocele is the more general category, meaning if just a fluid-filled cyst. Spermatocele means that fluid is sperm, and he's probably basing that on the location just off your epididymis.
Spermatocele is also my Hebrew name.
And you really can't know for sure what's in it until they stick a needle in there. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, they told me that removing either one of them is purely cosmetic.
That's right. That's why you wouldn't put a needle in there either, because there's no reason for it.
Why not?
Why?
Oh.
Just we have a needle in your nut? Is that important to you?
Mm-hmm.
whether it's just some sort of seminal fluid, or whether it's sperm, or whether it's blood, which is called a varicocele, they don't do anything. They just sit there, and as you know, they don't change for the most part.
Right.
And there's some concern that in case certain...
What's a spermatocele?
The fluid...
Hydrocele's water, fluid.
It just says fluid. Fluid-filled right. cyst.
What's spermatocele?
Sperm-filled.
Really?
Cyst. Yeah.
Didn't that make you gay?
No.
Really?
No.
Absolutely not.
I think that would make you gay, dude. You got some jizz in your sack, and it's like separate, you know?
No.
Okay.
No.
And then the third one is filled with blood?
Varicocele. Like a varicose vein, basically. It's full of vein.
All right, either way, you don't monkey.
You don't monkey unless they start swelling, and there's vague concern that it might have something to do with the fertility sometimes. So if you ever have a problem, they might say, oh, let's take that out. But that's very... That's not necessarily
but
the case.
But you sure spermatocele doesn't make you gay, dude?
No, dude, don't.
No?
No, dude. Here's Lawrence. He's 25.
Dude, oh, we got to go to break, dude.
We do. Oh, my goodness, we do.
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock.
I'm sorry.
We got to go to break, dude.
Ooh, I keep hanging up on people.
All right, dude. Well, who cares? We'll take a quick break. Are you sure it doesn't make you gay? I'm almost sure it makes you gay.
I'm sure it does.
Okay, dude. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. No, I'm the Vicar of Christ. And that is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew?
Here we go.
Here we go.
Right to calls. Here's a Drew, 28.
Drew?
Uh-oh, it's not working. Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Is this computer screwed up? Oh, good times. All right.
What's going on?
We're going to have to reboot.
What happened?
It's just not working.
Hey, hello.
Well, there he is.
Drew?
Hey. No.
Grover, okay.
Grover, what's up, my Vicar?
What's happening, Grover?
I got a Germany or Florida for you.
What's up, Vicar?
Perfect.
I saw a great Germany thing today. I wonder if he's going to bring this up. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, Adam, first, I have a piece of automobile trivia that's actually Pope-related that I think you might enjoy.
Have you called before? I recognize his voice.
Who cares? I love Grover.
Have you called before?
Yeah.
I recognize his voice.
Yeah.
You do every
well, he You're sounds really lucid, that's why.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go ahead, Grover.
Okay, it's Eric, but whatever. okay.
Eric gets loaded and calls us. He's that guy who gets drunk and calls us.
I don't care. I'm just so happy to have someone who speaks English.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know how the other night you were talking about in the early 50s, they wheeled the Pope around until his nose fell off?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you know, in the Volkswagen Bug, on the rear of a Volkswagen Bug, right above the license plate, there's that little handle thing that sticks out. In the early 50s, that's called a Pope's nose.
Oh, really?
By Volkswagen enthusiasts, yeah. And that's those old trunk lids are worth a lot of money if they have the Pope's nose on them.
Well, the Volkswagen thing was basically...
Is that what you're talking about, a thing?
I'm not talking about a thing. I'm talking about the old air
No, he
bug.
Said he said the handle thing on the back
oh,
of the
Oh, the handle thing.
Yeah, you
I'm sorry, did
specific.
I say thing?
Yeah.
Well, he said handle
Eric
thing or something.
Guy, Eric does the Adam imitations.
Yes.
The mailroom.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Well, that's called the Pope's nose. Nose really. Drew, if you were decomposing, could your nose fall off?
You could. If you whacked it, it would crack off, yeah. Like just your fingers would, too. I mean, anything sticking out.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd have to take some channel locks to it,
yeah,
right?
You'd have to give a good force. Yeah.
See, I never quite buy
maybe,
that
but
stuff.
But maybe they're lifting him up and he hit the door jamb and pow.
Yeah, but they say, like, fell off. It's sort of like when people say, oh, man, he was ice skating, he hit his head and he cracked it open.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, cracked open?
No, he just cut his scalp.
He cut himself, right?
Okay. All right, so, Eric, what's the Germany or Florida?
Okay, a man was arrested at his home the morning after he attempted to break into a liquor store. He had apparently used a chain wrapped around the bumper of his Mercedes to to try to pull the bars from the front doors of the store. When he accelerated away from the doors, the bumper was ripped from the car. Flustered by the unexpected removal of the bumper, the man kept driving, not realizing that his license plate was still on the bumper, Germany or Florida.
Mm. Now, he conveniently threw in the Mercedes thing to put us off the
part
scent.
Of, part of the story.
I think it put us off the scent. I think it's a nice diversion for us. But mm-hmm. the liquor store and the crazy behavior, that's Florida, right?
Let me say this, though. Actually taking a chain and putting it around your bumper.
That's a lot for Floridian. You're right.
No. Your car, your Mercedes, would have to be 20 years old, maybe 25 years old, to do a chain around the bumper.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they've been all integrated for the last 20 years plus.
Oh, so that goes back to Germany, doesn't it?
And Drew, remember this? I was just thinking about this yesterday. Remember when you could tell somebody by what kind of car they drove, or tell what kind of person they were by what kind of car they drove? Like, you'd say, well, this guy pulls up in a Mercedes.
Yeah.
Now, there's kids in junior college who drive a Mercedes now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 20 years old. Maybe it's just a 190 class. Their parents lease. It's $249 a month. You know what I mean? But it used to be if somebody drove a Mercedes, they were a doctor or an attorney.
Yes.
They had money.
Yes.
The guys who drove a Mercedes, the guys who drove a Cadillac.
Plus you think to yourself, you got a Mercedes, imagine the upkeep that guy pays.
Oh
my God.
But I just remember, like, Mercedes was a friend of yours, rich dad, who was a divorce attorney.
Yes. Or Porsche. Oh, my God.
A Porsche. Forget about it.
Yeah.
No, he had to be on the Grand Prix circuit when they gave it to him, you know? So now it's a weird time because there's 22-year-old chicks who are like temps who drive a Mercedes or drive a Porsche Boxster or something like that.
Part of the reason that might be is because back in the, are you talking about like the mid and late 70s?
Yeah.
Because they hadn't been importing those cars for that long, so anybody that had
them must have had money.
Now they've been around for, you know, 30 years.
Same thing with the upkeep. There were only certain mechanics that would work on them and that kind of thing.
But not only that, in general, everything is cheaper and more accessible.
Yeah, also they make cars for the masses now, too. They didn't make them for just anybody back in the day.
Yeah, you made a Mercedes for guys that were in their 60s and had old money.
Yeah.
All right, Drew. You're going to say Florida.
I'll go Florida.
Although Germany.
Although your point is so well taken, I wanted to flip back to Germany with the old car.
Old Mercedes.
Yeah.
I'm going Mercedes just because Eric over here, I think he's trying to...
Have you seen those Mercedes, those Land Cruisers, they have a bumper.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm going Germany.
All right.
I think he's screwing with us.
He is screwing with us, no doubt about that. All right.
You got Florida?
Florida.
I got Germany. Eric?
Okay, well, first of all, you guys went through the exact same steps that I thought you would. I did throw the Mercedes in there. It is Tallahassee, Florida. But I do have one other thing to tell you, too.
Yeah?
Last night, you guys talking about the people who put up comic strips on their office doors and
that's
whatnot.
That's Eric, for sure. That's
Eric. Remember, Drew, I worked a night shift with my buddy here at a print shop.
Yeah.
And we do occasionally put up comics.
Oh, I know.
Only,
I'm sure.
Only if the characters are positioned in such a way that we can draw, like, huge penises on them. And we'll take Family Circus and make one of them give them the dad a BJ while the dog...
Well, that's fine.
Around and give them the kid
that's okay?
That's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I have no quarrel with that.
So
did you make this car a Mercedes, by the way?
Oh, I think we lost him. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, here. Okay. It wasn't actually a Mercedes in the real story?
You want the truth?
Yes.
He was actually driving an asshole the size of a cotton jar.
Oh. It's a bogus?
A bogus Germany or Florida?
Bogus Germany or Florida?
That's sort of out of bounds. It doesn't make sense to have a bogus Germany or Florida.
Yeah, it's against the Geneva Convention of Germany or Florida.
It was a great piece of news out of Germany or Florida today. Wait.
He just told us an actual story, though.
Yes?
It is Tallahassee, Florida.
So it happened in Tallahassee. You just screwed around with it a little bit.
Never happened. Tallahassee, Florida. Straight out of the newspaper.
Well, it happened in Tallahassee.
Right. I did put the Mercedes in there to screw with you.
All right.
That's fine.
All right, please hang up on him.
Don't worry. But
isn't it interesting, by the way, that he said... put the chain on the Mercedes bumper.
Yes.
And, get him back, because it was a pickup truck. The original thing was, And let me tell you something, everybody.
It was, everybody.
It was a pickup truck,
yeah.
Because the only chain you can get around a bumper of any car that was made in the last 25 years is pretty much a pickup truck.
And that probably would have said Florida, screaming Florida.
Right. Now, here's the thing, everyone, with the Germany or Florida. You're not allowed to modify it to make it more German or more Florida.
I know. It messes the whole premise of this thing up.
The universe goes into a spin cycle when you do that.
Right.
You can't ask somebody to wager on something and change the odds of it.
Right.
You just can't F with it.
Well, it's like you throw the dice down, the guy goes, no, moves the dice and switches them.
Yes.
No, that's snake eyes.
Because...
No, it's not a seven, it's snake eyes.
Guy putting a chain around a Ford F-150 bumper and pulling a liquor store front off or pulling his bumper off is Florida. The Mercedes is Mercedes because the really old Mercedes are still on the road in Germany which
exactly.
would have a detached front bumper. Thank you.
That was a great story.
How dare you? That doesn't count, by the way.
No, don't worry.
That does not go in the books.
We can feel perfectly good about that one.
No, not we. Me.
You
got it right.
I know. But listen, all right. Great story out of Florida today. They've sort of brought a new law to bear where it's made it legal to shoot at anyone who comes on your property who you feel is a threat.
Wow. Good.
Yeah. There you go.
I got no problem with that.
That's a good Florida story, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's good. I know. People really... I used to think... I grew up thinking Florida was just some vacation spot for, retiring Jews. I had no idea that it was Hicksville.
Well, remember, it's different parts of Florida.
Hoo-hoo. Who are you talking to? I was just there.
All right, I'm looking for my Discovery Health Channel show, a male diabetic who didn't take his insulin when he was younger is now having an erectile problem because of that, and or men suffering from premature ejaculation that'd be willing to come on television and talk about. This is Drew 28.
Well, who do they call?
They call in here, 1-800-LOVE-191, and we will talk to them. Now, why can't
No, but we're not on? Talking to them on the air, though.
No. Someone will discuss.
All right, we'll clarify
all
that.
All right, someone will screen them. Can you put up line two, Anderson? There's something wrong with this computer.
Hold on, Ann's making sure that he's still there because you hung up on him. Hold on. Here he goes. Right.
Drew? Lawson. Drew.
Nice. How's it going, Drew?
What's happening?
Great. Well, you know, I've been giving blood since I was about 18 years old. I'm 28 now, and I've always had a clean bill of health. Always been safe and everything, and then about a year ago, I went and gave blood, and then they gave me a note saying I couldn't come back and give anymore because I showed some cells for hepatitis B. But I haven't had sex in so damn long, it was impossible from that. And one other thing, I kind of got a long schlong, so it may sometimes, if I go to I travel around a lot, and I go to a lot of rest areas and truck stops and whatnot. Is it possible to get hepatitis B from, unclean toilets and having it dip in the water or something?
No. Well, true. What are you, an idiot? You didn't get this as bogus 20 minutes ago?
I am a big boy.
He's got a long schlong. And when he's,
he's worried that when he sits in the toilet, he dangles.
Not sits. Stands at the urinal.
Oh, I see.
It hangs.
I see.
No, yeah. I'm not talking at the urinal. I'm talking at the toilet. If I got it,
gets in the water. Guys, worry about this.
What?
Yes, Adam. I know.
Oh, true. Please.
Adam?
Penis doesn't go in the water.
Well,
my God.
The front of the toilet. Stuff.
Man of passion. Penis in the water. If the toilet was overflowing, I wouldn't get my penis wet. True. Your penis does not hang down in the water.
Well, sometimes.
In the water.
It's a higher level than the toilet. It's not proper. So there's all.
So he's worried that he got something that way. I've never heard of that happening.
Wow.
Never heard of that happening.
Okay, mine just sticks straight out.
Well,
I got to put a weight on it so I don't whiz them. I don't whiz on my pants when I'm going tinkle in number two. True, yours goes down into the water.
Oh, relax.
Wow. All right, but he's full of crap. You're not going to get anything from the water.
No, you're not, but he's actually worried about it.
Wow.
I don't understand how he got hepatitis B, though. I understand how he got Hep B. In fact, I don't even believe that you have it, frankly. So I would get
some abnormal cells.
Yeah,
what's
get
that
more
mean?
Formally tested. Exactly. I don't know quite what that means. Be retested. Get formal serologic testing for that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And it's unlikely to be the truck stops. So there we go. All right. Let me go to. Let me see if I can get this thing to work here. Kyle.
Hello.
22.
Yes.
What's happening?
Not a whole lot. Actually, I also have that same problem on occasion.
I know. Seattle, having... I'm sorry. Guys.
What? Your penis hangs in the toilet? It gets into the water?
On occasion in some toilets, yes.
If you flush while you're still sitting and the water rises up, perhaps.
We're not talking about the ones that are, you know, funnel deep with a couple, you know, quarter inch at the base.
No, we're talking
aren't the,
regular
aren't the
toilet.
Commercial-grade toilets? How high is the water level on those things? Jesus Christ. That's depressing. I don't believe it. Here's the thing. Let me tell you, for me, when I put one of those ass liners up, my penis is 50% farther from the water. Just that 2 mil thick ass liner is enough to get me up above the actual. I get above the seat with the ass liner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm even without the ass liner. I'm even with the top of the seat.
When you pee, it just sprays over the edge.
I put the ass liner.
Over.
Oh, put yeah. that ass liner in them up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a spacer for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just called a spacer. I didn't even know it was for sanitation. I thought it was to get you up. Yeah.
Yeah. One of those seats for people that
have
handicapped
seat. Yeah, handicap seat. Into the mic, Drew.
All right, relax.
All right, so what's Kyle's problem?
I don't know. It's here.
All right, my question is, all right, I've been married for a little over a year, and sex has just gotten, I guess, boring. And so I have taken, I guess, the liberty to fantasize, and... I don't know. I've been trying to come up with a way to approach my wife about either getting a boob job or possibly having a threesome. And
how old is your wife?
Hello? Yeah.
How old is your wife?
My wife is also 22.
Why'd you marry her?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I'm totally in love with her.
Doesn't sound like it.
Mm. What's wrong with her boobs?
There's nothing wrong with her boobs. I like them the way they are. I could like them better if they were bigger.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here? Now, what is... We got to sort of decipher this.
Right.
Is this a guy who was like, had nothing going on and grabbed the first life preserver, it came along, and then all of a sudden he's got a little momentum going here, and he's thinking...
He doesn't have any momentum. His only momentum is I found someone who's willing to have sex with me.
But then he goes out, gets a job, now the girls are willing to talk to him or something.
I don't think Kyle's got a good gig, though. What do you do for a living, Kyle?
What do I do for a living? I do...
Well, right now...
Factory work, right now.
Yeah. Right now. That's a bad sign.
Some factory work.
But... I was, it's not that I grabbed the first girl who came around. She's gorgeous, and I'm completely happy being with her.
Well, except that you want her to get some plastic surgery and have a threesome.
Except sex is getting boring.
Kyle sounds... Well, first...
My thought process, the thought bubble that I flashed through was first, well, is this bogus?
No.
And then it was like, wait, he's smoking? And he's what is this?
Well, he smokes. Here's the thing about
sort of,
Kyle.
Sort of an
no, Kyle has a, has that little sociopath to
yeah,
him. Where
that's what I was
thinking. He's soulless.
Yeah.
Other people sort of exist, but not really. Or they only exist to say, like, oh, my wife, she's gorgeous. But she's not a separate
not a person,
human being.
Not a whole being, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, but a lot of 22-year-old guys are that way.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't know. I think there's more and more of them. Mm. I don't know why. And by the way, if your name's Kyle, the percentage goes way up. Yeah, so let's talk to him a little more.
I'm still trying to decipher this.
Yeah.
Do you have any kids?
No kids.
Oh, you know what? And the girls that like these guys, this is one of these bad guys that the girls like, oh, he's so sweet. You know, only I understand him. I was talking to a woman on the street tonight during this filming the show, which, by the way, I'm still for a diabetic male with sexual dysfunction and premature EGI.
No.
And a woman put this in a really interesting context. She goes, it's like Wendy with Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
You want to make him grow up.
Yeah, you want to save him and rescue him and all that.
Yeah, yeah. No, Kyle's just a little... Kyle's kind of an a-hole. But that's all right.
But as guys, as men, we look at those guys and go, oh, yeah, a-hole.
Yeah, but most 22-year-old guys are a-holes. It's just that's why you don't get married at 22.
All right. Okay.
All right. So, Kyle, you need to not have kids. That's the first thing you need to do. All right?
First priority.
First priority, no kids, because this thing could be over in 18 months.
Yes.
That's
the road you're going down, that's where you're headed.
Yeah. That's number one. Number two, the boob job thing, she's going to resent you. The threesome thing, she's probably going to resent you, too.
Oh, probably.
Definitely.
You're even bringing it up, she'll resent you. You do it, it's over.
Right. So, now, if she wants to get a boob job, that might be another story. We can perhaps discuss that. But something's wrong with you, Kyle, and there's a component of you. And I think there's a component of...
Yeah, this is a bogus call.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're getting pretty harsh with him, and I'm not getting that a-hole vibe so strongly enough for you to react that way.
You know what I'm getting? I'm getting a casual... There's a lot of guys that are very casual about other people and how they affect that.
No, I agree with you, but those guys usually make me insane. And I'm not having that kind of reaction.
All right. Well, maybe it's bogus.
Kyle, what is it?
Do you think I'm making it up?
That's basically your choice.
Kind of your choice, yeah.
It would be, I guess you could say, no, I'm neither. Neither. It's totally real. I mean, it's a real situation. It's my life.
I'm just trying
to, I guess, think of a way where I can make sex more interesting, and those are my fantasies. Whether they have to be reality or not, that's what's going through my head.
You relinquished the right to those kinds of fantasies, to act on those kinds of fantasies when you got married, because the threesome will ruin your marriage. The boob job is fine if you want to, you know, get her that if she's interested in that. But by the way,
how many dishwashers do you have to put together before you can afford a boob job?
Right. And I just wonder how into your wife you actually are. You're 22, you've been married 18 months or together, whatever, 18 months, and you're already done. It's like you're ready, like Kleenex, ready to move on to the next, you know.
It's passed through my head how it's going to work. But, I mean,
Why did I get married so young?
I mean, I'm totally in love with her.
Kyle, cut that out. Stop it.
Well, that's his rap. Guys like Kyle have a rap too, you know.
If you're totally in love with her, go ahead and treat her like somebody you're totally in love with.
Well, just treat her like a human.
Well,
but or a separate person.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Kyle. One thing you learn as you get older is you don't really have to do anything about things you're thinking about. You just let it, they just pass.
When you got all the energy and the testosterone going, they don't pass.
What's what I mean? When you're younger, you get angry. Hey, I got to get my car. I got to do something about it.
Yeah.
You get horny. I got to get my car. Always get in your car. I got to do something about it. Or pick up the phone.
Yeah.
I got to do something about almost everything.
Yeah.
Later on, it's just you get hungry and you do something about it, and then that's about it. So that's how it is. You get a little older, it's like I'm angry.
I'm sleeping, I'm hungry.
I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm horny. Nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm hungry. All right, let's go.
Get in my car, do something.
Get in the car. We got to do something about it. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going, Drew.
No, let's go to break.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Actually, I'm the Vicar of Christ. That's the Dr. Drew's over there.
What's up, Vicar?
Clumsiest doctor. He's
a cussy doctor, too. The mouth on him.
He dropped the S-bomb a second ago. He's really like the nutty professor. Drew has now unplugged his laptop computer 8 times via just his flailing movements.
Very Dr. Bruce.
He did Dr. Spaz has some competition this year.
Here's the deal. The plug for this thing is completely extended. It's on tender tension. And it doesn't plug in. It's sort of balanced into the computer.
Yeah, that's
the slightest movement, pow, it's out. And then the computer has to completely reset itself when I plug it back in.
That's a viable excuse the first 26 times you unplug it. But the 27th, you got to take a little responsibility.
Well said.
Drew also tonight took his Pepsi bottle, smacked it on the mic going toward his mouth, and then whacked it again on the mic it was heading back for the table. He whacked it going in, he whacked it going out. Yeah. Drew, one of the clumsier guys I know, it worries me that he's a doctor, because I would not let you remove something from my eye.
You will notice I'm not a surgeon.
Forget about
There's
surgery.
A reason for that.
If you did that thing where you tried to get that little flake of something that was on my eyeball or something, I was scared to stab something right through my brain.
I might not do that.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I might have done that. No, for the very reason you bring up here.
Yeah, you should be confined to a wheelchair.
You thought I was so... I told you I have, like, paddles for hands, and you always thought it was some sort of volitional thing that I did.
Well, no, I know you're clumsy. You just have to work extra hard not to punch the mic.
But that's like telling somebody who's got polio when they try to walk.
Polio.
They have to work extra hard.
Polio. You don't have polio.
You know what I'm saying? But the point is, yes, I should be able to do better than the person with polio, but I am handicapped when it comes to the...
Let me explain what you have to do. You have to act like someone who's driving someone else's very nice car. You have to back out slowly. Mm-hmm. You have to look to your right and your left. You know that thing? Like, you know when you're driving your own car, you just sort of zooming around, cutting corners, that kind of stuff, and then you're driving a really nice car and you go extra wide.
Yep.
That's what you need to do around the microphone.
Oh, yes, and around this computer now, too.
All right, let's keep on keeping on. Who are we talking to?
We can't until this computer comes back up.
Oh, really?
You can start talking about high school football, though. This is your chance.
Oh, man.
No. We got calls,
Captain
man.
Crunch.
All right, well, I can't see him. We'll put it on line.
All right, there's Sarah on line five. She's a runner, and she pees.
No.
Yeah, we'll talk to Sarah.
No. Line three was what I wanted to talk to. All right, go to line
talk
three.
To Sarah.
Go to line three, please. Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, what's this? What's the question?
This is Micah.
Yeah.
My question is, my wife is pregnant, and she's about 6.5 months along, and I work really long hours, and she's just, I try as hard as I can to get her aroused sexually, but she's just not into it at all. And I'm just kind of wondering if you guys have any suggestions. I mean, anything I could do to...
Yeah, you can masturbate. Calm down, dude. She's pregnant. She needs your support. And in the third trimester, she may start getting very aroused. Some women get super aroused during that last trimester. And you can have sex then. That's fine. But in the meantime, if she isn't, this is your time to be a husband and a father. Suck it up a little bit.
And a spanker.
And a spanker is a way of being a father and a husband.
Well, whatever she is, when you're pregnant, whatever you want, that's what you get.
Whatever she wants.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah, when you're pregnant, yeah, whatever you want, that's what you get, what one gets. Yes, she wants some sherbet, you get a sherbet. She wants to be left alone sexually, you leave her alone sexually. Well, don't people want sherbet anymore?
Sorry, what was that?
How about ice cream and sardines? What was the thing people used to crave?
Anchovies, or yeah, ice cream.
It was anchovies and ice cream or something.
And pickles. Ice cream and pickles.
Pickles was one of those things. Yeah,
let's bring that humor back. We need that humor back, too. With the quicksands and the souffle, we need pickles and ice cream humor.
Right.
Yeah.
What happened to sherbet? Quiet down, Micah. What happened to sherbet? I like sherbet.
It was replaced by gelato.
Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was gelati. No, gelato. Here's my point. Sherbet was replaced.
Yes.
All right.
Good times.
Huh?
Okay. This now is Eric, who's 30.
Hello.
Hello.
Eric, what's up?
I have a comment about when you guys were talking about the male G-spot.
Yeah.
The first time that I experienced it, the girl didn't actually stick her finger up my hole. She just actually rubbed basically on the outside of it, and it was very stimulating.
Okay, that's not a G-spot. That's anal stimulation.
Whoa, wait, the outside?
She just rubbed on the outside.
It's like around the rim.
All right.
That's why they have the rim jobs, because guys find that stimulating. That's not some sort of crazy neurological
bundle. That's a rim job?
I've never considered it or called it a G-spot myself.
It's not
all
a
right.
G-spot.
Well, look, it felt good.
It felt good.
It was stimulating.
But I'm just saying, for guys that don't like the idea of having something stuck, you know, up their a-hole,
mm-hmm.
they might, you know, alternative method. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it, but that's just me, so.
Oh, of course. Well,
that's you.
Right.
Just doing a public service, though.
So. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, he liked that. Noted.
Okay, fair much. Here's Han, who's 29.
Is that all he's saying?
I guess so.
What happened to the chick I went to talk to an hour ago?
I, you know.
You don't know where she is?
Han?
Yeah.
29. She's next.
Okay, my question is
three dudes in a row.
How you doing, Vicar? Hey, you should try jalapenos and pineapples on your pizza.
Oh, really? Let's see.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
I'll go for that. I'll go for that.
Right on. Yeah. Hey. Okay. Well, my question is, if somebody's been a drug addict for a number of years or whatnot, you know, they've indulged heavily in drugs for, you know, 10 years of their life. What's a good time, what's a good gap of between being recovered and then in and then being in a long-term relationship after the after you've stopped
using. Just do it.
One year.
They tell you that in the program all the time, right?
Well, I don't know. I didn't use any sort of program, so. So you're recommending that somebody be in a program for a year?
Yes, active in the program, because you have to change. You have to grow. You have to be in some sort of process.
In therapy.
In a therapeutic process, because if you don't change, I mean, why wait the year then? You're just the same person now as you're going to be a year from now. You're just going to be off drugs, and well, so what? But if you grow in the process of recovery, you will attract and be attracted to an entirely different kind of person. And that's what that year is about.
All right.
Have a good time.
Good time, so yeah. Here is the call. Sarah.
Oh, hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Adam, I just want to say that I love you. And Drew, I love the book. It was awesome. Correct.
Oh, thank you, Sarah.
It was great. Okay. Basically, like, I've always had a problem where I, like, pee my pants a lot. I don't know, like, when I laugh or something. And I never thought it was a big deal. But, like, recently, basically, like, a couple of weeks ago, it started. Like, when I go running, I'll, like, pee my pants. But, like, I don't know I'm doing it. And then, like, I'll get down to, like, the strand and I'll, like, stretch or something. And I'll just realize that I totally peed my pants. Like, it's really bad. Like, it slowly happens.
Do you have any medical problems? Do you have any medical problems?
No, like, I have nothing at all.
Are you overweight?
No.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. He's running down at the strand. She's got to look good, right?
Yeah, I'm in really good shape, I'd say, yeah.
Okay. And on medication?
The only thing that I've ever had is my inhaler, like, for asthma.
Do you take that regularly?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's only for exercising.
So you take it before you exercise.
Ooh.
You do it before you exercise.
Yeah.
And then you get the urinary incontinence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it just started. Like, it's not like this has been happening for a long time. It's just it just started like 2 weeks ago. And it's only happened like 4 times.
All right. Is it possible you have a urine infection?
I guess. Like, that's what I wanted to know, like, if I, like, need to, like, check it out or something.
Yes, you definitely need to. It's called stress urinary incontinence. And somebody your age, a urine infection would really be the most common reason for that. As women get older, sometimes having had babies cause something called a cystocele and change the sort of direction of the bladder neck and the function of the muscles down there, and they can get difficulty with urination, with laughing and coughing and running, as with your case. And then they start getting urinary incontinence with orgasm. I talked to one lady who they were putting down, like, sheets and tarps and stuff, and it was just all over the place. They couldn't tolerate it.
Comfortable.
Nice.
What, how much wee-wee comes out?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Sorry, my friend.
Yeah.
It's, like, really, okay, like, a lot. Like, and I have to go at night, like, after work and stuff, and so it, so, like, you can't, like, tell, but, like, it's a lot. Like, it's embarrassing. It's horrible. Like, I got down, and I was going to go for a run, and I couldn't even go because it was horrible. Like, I looked down, and it was, oh, my gosh.
But
so
what if you evacuate yourself before you head out for a jog?
Well, I actually, yeah, no, I did that, like, like, 2 days ago. Like, I did that. Like, I was about to leave, and I was, like, leaving my house, and I was, like, wait, hold on. And I, like, went back, and I, like, went to the bathroom, like, try to, like, get everything straightened out. And
are you still?
Like, okay, but it just slowly comes out. It's the weirdest thing. Like,
yeah, it sounds like a urine infection to me.
Yeah, I don't even know what's happening.
You definitely need to have this checked out into.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it's probably no big deal. It's kind of hot for some guys.
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah. Some dudes are into that. What do you wear? You know what I like? You know what's a good look? The long, full-length sort of workout tight pant. They're like cycling shorts, but they just go down to your ankles.
Yeah.
You got those?
Those are, like, good for going at night, too, because it can get
cold.
But I don't... Yeah, I just basically wear a tank top and shorts, or sometimes just a sports bra and shorts. Like, I don't really...
Nice. Yeah.
Sports bra.
Let me tell you, if this was a 70s movie, you'd get raped. That's the way it happens. The guy spots the check.
Leg warmers.
Yeah, and he falls or something.
Leg warmers. Okay, so
you have leg warmers? All right.
They're coming back.
All right, go to the doctor, would you please? There's nothing hotter than chicks in the... Drew.
Yeah.
Chicks in the workout outfits.
Yeah.
For me... chick in a bikini, hot. Chick in a workout outfit, hot. Mm. Chick in lingerie and stripper attire, not as hot.
I agree.
I don't know why. It's a little distracting. I'm not quite sure what it is.
But it makes her feel sexy.
That's all that counts. She has to feel sexy.
Yeah, so what do you do?
Let me tell you the hottest. Here's the hottest.
No clothes.
No. No clothes. Yeah, it is. And for a man of your exquisite passion, certainly. I mean, no clothes is hot, but in a, in a more certain way. I'm just talking about more realistic hot. You're not going anywhere where everyone's naked.
I see.
Here's what I'm saying.
And by the way, in reality, that's where everyone's naked.
Yeah, not they don't look thing. That good. Yeah. Here's a sack.
Yeah.
That's a dude sack. Here's the thing. A chick in a bikini wearing tennis shoes. Hot.
Say it again?
Chick in a bikini wearing tennis shoes. Hot. I'll tell you the hottest. Chick in a bikini wearing high heels, sort of weird and distracting and a little bit stripper.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not as hot as the tennis shoes.
Yeah, agreed.
Hottest is something, I don't know what it does. It changes the shape of the ass or something. Here's the hottest. Chick in the bikini, been out in the sun, got a nice tan, got some oil, a little bit of perspiration, but some oil on him, is now going to get up and go to the snack bar or the cabana or whatever it is, and the sand is hot. So you flip the sneakers
you
on.
You watch too many movies in the 70s about the beach.
You don't tie the sneakers.
Remember
you just sort of
lifeguard.
You put them on, and I'm not talking about flip. Yes, I'm not talking about flip flops. I'm talking about the sneakers.
No, I know what you're saying.
And I'm not talking about tying them up either. Just sort of slide them
on. Here's the problem. When I was growing up, I was a little tourist.
Is it touristy?
It's a tourist. Yeah.
Still hot.
Tourist.
Something about the ass in the flats is hotter than the ass in the heels. Come on, Drew.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's hot.
Yeah.
And then.
When you put them on the sand, though, that's where you lost me. Walk
really?
On the strand, good.
Sand, no, you're on the beach. The sand is hot. You got to put the sneakers on.
You put on your sandals, the flip-flops.
Yeah, but chicks.
Tourist.
No. You didn't have to be a tourist. Local chicks would wear their sneakers to the beach, and then they'd go down to the sand and undress sometimes. Uh-huh. And then, that's another good thing.
Yeah.
The undressing at the beach.
Mm. What's the problem with the tourist?
Yeah, what's the problem? By the way,
tourists
can't be hot? Yeah, they don't even talk to anybody. You do what you want to them.
Drew, you're so snobby.
I'm just trying to play the guy in the 70s.
Look,
you know what I mean?
No.
That's what guys would think.
How about you play the guy in, what are we in now?
You're
90s?
Fine at it. What are we
play
talking
the guy
about?
In the 90s.
We're having this elaborate discussion about tennis shoes.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what's hot. You're at the beach. A couple of hot chicks pull up next to you. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And they're in the jeans and stuff, and they got to strip down. Mm. They're getting naked, essentially. It's like you're at their house, and they're getting undressed. Better that they should pull up in jeans and like a sweat jacket than pull up in, just a sort of sarong kind of thing.
Just so you can see the whole thing go down?
Well, when they're trying to work their way out of the jeans?
Are you like in a semi-dream state right now? What's going on here?
That's hot.
You're going to hear all your
No, but they're
fantasies.
Working their way out of the jeans.
I get it.
A little crack sometimes. Because it catches the bikini bottom as they're pulling it down. Tennis shoes? Come on, that's hot.
Yeah.
Hot.
Ow!
Are you ready to go?
Yes.
What's going on?
Yeah, take a break.
Oh, we got to take a break?
Yeah.
All right. I got to masturbate.
I know you do.
Drew's going to be right back. I got to take a little time with this. Drew's going to be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. I'm the Vicar of Christ. That's Dr. Drew coming
to
you.
Adam. You did good.
I got it. From New York City.
No, I mean you squeezed off there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, take care of business. Yeah. 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 All right, you ready to rock?
Let's go.
Oh, Drew.
Oh, dude.
That was Drew.
Oh, please.
Drew, that was Drew.
How dare you.
Drew.
And first of all,
smells.
How dare you?
Oh, man.
You got a scent going? Oh, you've been eating so much.
What's up?
You've been eating crazy with the food, right?
Yeah. All right, let's go. Who's our next call?
This is Sherry, who's 30.
Sherry. What's happening, Sherry?
Hello there.
Hey.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
My question is, my husband and I have been together about 15 years or so, and we're kind of looking for something to spice up our relationship, or not relationship, but our love life, our sex life, and we're kind of looking to do a threesome, but I don't know really how to go about, kind of finding someone to enjoy that with us, I guess, is the
you
way
want another
I
girl.
Yes. Yes, another girl.
Mm. Aren't you concerned about your relationship and what might happen in the course
not,
of this?
Not particularly. We have a really strong relationship. That I think that's why it's kind of gone to that next step. That's why I'm kind of curious
so you
about
see,
it.
You look at your husband having sex with another woman, that's not going to bother you.
I don't think so.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy. You don't think so, but you don't know so.
Can't say anything until it happens, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then your relationship's over. What are you going to do?
He gets to have intercourse with her?
Possibly.
Mm.
Possibly.
Well, something's way up here.
Do you have kids?
Yes, we do.
Oh, come on.
How many kids do you have?
We have a couple.
Oh. Well, why don't you get one of them?
There you go.
You got a girl?
No. Give me a break. Come on.
Well, I'm just saying, it'd be marginally less destructive to the family if you'd just brought a member in, but just kept it in the family.
You're going to risk your family's stability. Where did this all start? Whose idea was this?
Actually, it was my idea.
Why? Uh-huh. Why?
It wasn't his. Something different.
Something different.
She got to stir it up. Some sabotage. Here.
Yeah. This is... Yeah. Okay. I'll give you two options.
Okay.
Here are the two options. One, you have some sort of latent lesbian tendencies where you just want to check out a chick and you want to do it sort of officially. You don't want to sneak off and do it. You don't want to feel like a lesbian, by the way. You just want to experience a woman because you're curious and you think that's going to be different and better somehow. And this is an excuse to experience a woman.
She's 30. That's usually like a 20-year-old.
All right, but it could happen. That's number one. Number two... let's see, your dad was maybe violent or an alcoholic, a little drug addict, out of control, maybe cheated on your mom, and there was just chaos in the family, and now you're looking to stir things up.
You got to bring chaos into this family.
All right, which one is it? Which one?
Probably the first one. Definitely not the second one, so.
So you're lesbian.
Ooh.
Possibly.
You're lesbian.
It's not something that... Obviously, any guy's going to go for it.
You're a lesbian.
You know what I mean?
True.
Not anybody that's interested in maintaining the integrity of a family. But let's...
Well, why is it here nor there whether your husband will go for it? The question is...
Why are you into it?
Are you a lesbian?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like a lesbian?
I don't feel particularly like a lesbian, but it's a curiosity.
Well, let's put it... Yeah, it makes sense.
Did you ever have any weird... Any same-sex touching went on, like in nursery school or kindergarten?
No, definitely.
And nobody
not.
Ever sexually abused you?
No.
Well, here's the real question.
Pretty good life. Pretty good, happy life.
If you could find a woman you were attracted to, take her off somewhere in a private place, have a sexual encounter with her, minus your husband,
and
quiet down, and no one would ever find out about it, would you do that?
No, definitely not.
Why not?
Definitely, because that would be cheating on my husband.
No. Well, and let's say in a cosmic world, it wouldn't. Some fashion you could do it without it actually officially being cheating.
No.
What he's asking is,
that's what makes it. I think that's the whole idea, is that it'd be with him, a whole new experience with him. So, saying, is that kind of weird? Is that kind of out there?
Yes. Wait a minute. Are you into chicks
or not?
I've never been with one.
I know.
All right, but let's say you like it. Let's say you like it, and it's very appealing when you get involved with this.
All right.
Now what are you going to do? Now what? You're a lesbian, and you're married with kids.
There you go.
You've opened up Pandora's box. What are you doing now? What's the plan?
How do we know her name's going to be Pandora?
I guarantee you. Oh, what do you think Pandora's box? Where do you think that came from?
I know. I'm just saying. Is every lesbian named Pandora?
Only those that,
engage in threesomes.
Only those that open the box, right?
No. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're telling me, okay, one side of your mouth you're saying you feel like maybe you could be a lesbian. You're certainly curious about experiencing a woman.
Right.
And then on the other side of your mouth, is that what you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm curious, but you know, like you said, I don't want to ruin the integrity of our relationship, but we've gotten to a level in our relationship that something physical, I don't think we'll, I don't know. I don't know.
What the hell does that mean? That is meaningless gibberish, Jerry. It's nonsense.
I'm just saying, here's basically what's going on, it's best I can tell. And as you know, I'm a genius and literally a millionaire and always right.
Absolutely.
You would like to check the lesbian box off your box. You would like to say, I've been with a woman one time. You want to check it out. Drew, don't give me that head wagging thing.
I'm getting chaos vibe still.
I'm getting chaos too. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting chaos too because nobody does this that doesn't have some penchant for chaos.
Right. You need to have real intimacy.
Now, what's going on with your parents? Did your dad, somebody cheated on somebody? Something happened.
Not that I know of. No way. No.
Your parents are still together.
No, they are divorced. But it was an amicable divorce.
Why did they divorce?
Just they weren't compatible anymore.
Why? What was happening?
I'm not sure. I was young, so it was just.
How old were you?
Young.
How old were you?
What was I? Eight.
And you didn't see anything, any evidence of any problem?
No. They hid every. If there was some major things, they hid everything from us.
All right.
Well, what do you bet?
But you went from great childhood to parents divorced at eight. I mean, eight's pretty tough.
Yeah. But it wasn't a, you know what I mean? But it wasn't a bad life.
All right, no, they didn't, look, your dad, you didn't see your dad repeatedly stabbing your mom with a letter opener. But, you know, let me tell you, your parents getting divorced at eight is a far cry from a great childhood. Doesn't mean there's wholesale abuse, but there were.
Right. Something's going on.
Here's a good question. How old is your oldest kid?
Your
seven.
Oldest child.
Seven.
Ooh, right on time, baby. Yeah.
Right when you were eight, your parents screwed up their relationship, so you got to screwed up for your 8-year-old.
Yeah. Why don't you play in this threesome for the kid's birthday?
And why don't you bet, you know how kids have incredible intuition. I bet your parents did something weird. Your dad did something weird. Somebody did something that sabotaged the relationship.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's not a good idea.
You're reenacting the cycle.
Don't keep resting on that part where you go, our relationship is so strong and so positive.
Yeah,
we can be
BS.
Who are you talking to?
Okay.
Relationship is so strong, it can take a hit.
You wanted to sabotage this thing. That's what it's all about. Whatever you're thinking, the thinking is all distorted.
Your parents blew up when you were eight. Your kid's going to be eight in 6 months.
You
you're going to blow yourself.
That's
how it goes. All right. We'll be back after this. All right, everybody. God love you. To wake up to finish the show. I want to thank a couple of people tonight. I want to thank Engineer Anderson, the magic fingered one, the Liberace of the potentiometer.
Huh?
He's doing a great job all week. I want to thank Engineer Chris and possibly Engineer Michelle. I want to thank Junior producer Lauren. I want to thank producer Ann.
Brian.
I want to thank phone screener Brian. Is he in this week?
Yeah.
God love you, Brian. Doing a great job.
No, and screening calls over here. How dare you?
See, there you
How
go.
How dare you?
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Hey, how about giving him a BJ?
Oh, no.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Or the station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.